Is it necessary to consecrate a Buddha image? Consecrating Buddha images is not unique to Buddhists. Almost every religion, there are rituals related to consecration. As the word understood, we use this term to mean that we specifically dedicate a place, a statue, or any other object, or even a person for the purpose of spiritual practice. Especially, consecration of Buddha images is very popular among all the Buddhist schools. The technical term used for this is Buddhabhisheka, consecration of a Buddha image. Usually, Buddhist artists, they will build Buddhist statues based on Lakkhana Sutta. In Lakkhana Sutta, it is mentioned the 32 special marks of a great man. So even though there are different types of Buddha images, Buddhist artists, they all try to follow these 32 special marks of the Buddha. When the Buddhist statues are built, many of these statues are also enshrined, some relics. Sometimes we enshrine the Dhamma texts like suttas inscribed in copper plates, and we install them inside. Sometimes people even deposit precious items like gems and gold. However, when the Buddha statue is almost finished, then there will be a beautiful Buddhist ceremony. This ceremony is what we call Buddhabhisheka, consecration of the Buddha image. And another term for this is Netra Mangala, means eye-opening ceremony. But this term is used to mean because the last thing that the Buddhist artist would do to the image is to draw in the pupils of the Buddha, Buddha's eyes. So it is like giving eyes to the Buddha. And this special act of drawing the eyes of the Buddha image is like giving the life to the image. Because of that, there's another term we use. Prana prasista means giving the breath, means the statue comes to life. However, if you were to imagine a huge Buddhist statue without eyes, it doesn't look like living. So this special ceremony is extremely important. It has its own religious, cultural, social, political, as well as economic importance. Usually this ceremony will be done on Vesak full moon day, because Vesak day is the day that the Bodhisattva attained supreme enlightenment. The moment he attained the supreme enlightenment, he expressed his joy. He said, Chakkung Udapadi, Jnanang Udapadi, I got the eyes, Chakku. Jnanang Udapadi, I got the knowledge. Panya udapadi, I got the wisdom. Aloka udapadi, I got the light. So in this way, the Buddha expressed his enlightenment. And he also uttered a paean of joy. The paean of joy he uttered can be found in the famous Dhammapada, and they are known as Udana. The term Udana means joyful utterance. So Buddha said these words upon his enlightenment. Aneka jati sansarang sanda vissang anipisang gahakarakang gavesanto dukkha jati punapuna. Throughout many lives, undergoing birth and death cycle, I was searching for the propelling power behind this process of rebecoming. Today, I spotted you who built this house. And today, this house builder, which is the craving, has been destroyed completely. My mind has attained unshakable state. There's no more repeated existence, and I have attained enlightenment. So Buddha uttered these words. So in a consecration ceremonies on Vesak full moon days, so the monks, nuns, and lay Buddhist leaders, they get together in a united congregation. They joyfully chant these verses while we are doing the, what is it called, drawing the eyes of the Buddha. So it is symbolic. It will be a great religious ceremony where many monks and nuns come together and chant various discourses. And there will be various meritorious actions, including offering dana and conducting various other religious activities. So it is a great religious act. It is also socially important because this is where the Buddhist community, monks, nuns, and lay Buddhist people, both male and female followers of the Buddha, they come together to express their unity, support each other. And being a united congregation, they of course carry on their activities to preserve the Dhamma for the future generation. So it's socially important. Of course, culturally, it has got a great significance as well. So this is also the time that we get the Buddhist the politicians, a political support, and the businessmen to support the temples and Dhamma activities. So this particular ceremony, what we call Buddhabhisheka or Netrabhangala, or whatever the terms that you would like to use, depend on the various Buddhist tradition, it has got great significance, political, social, economic, cultural, religious, as well as psychological. So we must carry on such practices because they are very, very important. And they definitely has helped us to come a long way and preserve the teachings of the Buddha. So we must continue to the future. However, does this consecration has any Dhamma value? It doesn't. So it is very clear. This ceremony is very important, so we must continue to do so in the future as well. But if we look at it from the Dhamma point of view, it doesn't have any practical Dhamma value. Means, regardless of the matter, whether a statue is consecrated or not, it doesn't matter. As long as you use the Buddha image for the purpose of your spiritual cultivation. So that point is to be understood very clearly by those of you who wish to practice the Dhamma. Now, in Buddhist traditions, we encourage the people to have a beautiful Buddha image at home. It is because it helps a lot in our spiritual journey. When I try to encourage the people to have a beautiful Buddha image at home and start their small shrines and daily practice, there are certain questions people ask. I thought today I would like to address these questions since we are giving these Buddhist statues for Vesak as a Vesak gift to start the shrines, since it is an auspicious time to start the new spiritual practices. One of the common questions people ask when I offer a Buddha statue is, Bhante, are the eyes of this Buddha open? Well, I understand if you were to look at it from this cultural point of view, what it means. But if we look at it from the Dhamma point of view, Buddha is known as awakened one. So for sure his eyes are open. Without the open eyes, he cannot claim to be awakened one. Rest of us are sleeping ones, and the Buddha is the awakened one. What does it mean? Buddha is the first human being in the known history of humankind to be awakened from the deep sleep of ignorance. So he is known as awakened one. He has discarded ignorance and he is well aware of what is going on in this world with his mind and body. So Buddha is the awakened one. The rest of us who are not enlightened, we are sleeping, means we still have the ignorance. And also Buddha claimed that he sees things directly. So the seeing the truth, seeing the four noble truth, he claims, I see it, I know it. So Buddha's teaching is not coming down as a matter of, as a way of a revelation from a god or any other supernatural being. Buddha claimed that I realize these teachings directly by myself. I see them myself, and you too can see them by yourself if you practice. So Buddha does not claim that somebody else came and revealed to him the Four Noble Truths and the other teachings. He claimed that he saw them and he realized them through directly. So Buddha is the awakened one. So the questions to ask whether the eyes of the Buddha are open of this statue is actually not a Dhamma question. It's a cultural question. So we understand it. Now, if you would look at it from the cultural point of view, there can be two types of Buddha images. There can be one types of Buddha images with various colors. Usually, the robes will be either saffron color or orange color or any other color. The skin color will be usually golden color or any other fair colors. The hair can be black color or a little bit blue color. So in this way, the image of the Buddha can be a combination of various colors. So in such a Buddha statue, we definitely have to have eyes drawn. Otherwise, it doesn't look nice. So if you're looking for such a colorful Buddha statue, of course, you must look for whether eyes are drawn properly. However, if a Buddha statue is only coming with one color, such as the Buddha statue that we are giving, this is just pure white color Buddha statue. Artists have done it in such a way. So eyes are nicely depicted. So the features are very well shaped. So you can see the calm, serene, beautiful appearance of the Buddha. So you do not need to do anything. You do not need to draw eyes. In the first place, if you were to draw eyes in a white Buddha image, it looks very different. So I believe that all of you understood this matter regarding the opening of the eyes. As I said, in the monasteries, definitely this is a very important ceremony. We should encourage it. But if you were to keep an image at home, you do not need this. Unless you are going for colorful Buddhist statues, of course, you have to make sure that the Buddhist statue look nice with the eyes are drawn properly. The second question, and also a very common one, also usually people ask, Bhante, can you bless the Buddha? So here again, if you were to look at it from the Dhamma point of view, who are we to bless the Buddha? The Buddha himself is known as the Blessed One, Bhagava. Correct? So even the great arahants and who are endowed with great virtue, concentration, wisdom, and many other spiritual faculties, they all bow down to the Buddha. So who are we, these monks who are still defiled and not fully enlightened? Who are we to bless the Buddha? So that is irrelevant question, not applicable. There's no any Dhamma value to this question. However, sometimes it is better not to argue. Usually when the people ask these kind of questions, personally, I react three different ways. This is a secret. However, I have to tell you today since I open up this topic. First approach is, we try to understand whether the person is capable of understanding the Dhamma, whether the person is open-minded or whether he is rigid-minded, whether the other person has the capacity to realize if you were to tell this. So suppose if I understand this person is wise, can understand, doesn't have a rigid mindset, with open mind, he will quickly realize this matter, then of course we will explain the true facts about the Buddha statue. And I will simply explain that monks are in no way positioned to bless the Buddha. And we will clearly, in a simple term, explain the Dhamma and the greatness of the Buddha. However, if the person is a rigid-minded person, narrow-minded person, who doesn't want to listen and want to have his or her own way, one-way attitude, and not ready to listen, and when such a person usually asks, Bhante, can you bless the Buddha? Usually we keep quiet. And I will usually ask them to keep the Buddha statue in the temple for a 1 week or 2 weeks, and later stage come and collect it. So usually we will keep the Buddha image in a shrine where we usually practice our meditation, and the other is the chanting and the other religious practices. So when the devotee come next time to collect the Buddha statue, and the Buddha statue has been associated in a shrine, and he or she can take it home. The third approach is usually, if this person is ready, and we can arrange a simple Buddhist ceremony, means together with the person who is going to take the Buddha statue, we will do a devotional practice. We will bring the Buddha statue into a shrine and like this. And then, of course, we will offer some flowers, incense, and all this. We will do some chanting and some religious practices. And afterwards, the person can take the Buddha statue at home. Why sometimes we do not explain to the devotees it is not necessary? Because if you know the devotee is not in a situation to understand and accept such a thing, and that devotee might criticize saying, this monk doesn't know how to even bless the Buddha statue, and might take the Buddha statue to a different temple, or maybe somebody else who claimed that he knows a secret method to bless the Buddha statue and open the eyes. And then thereby sometimes such a person can be even cheated. So of course, out of goodwill, usually we don't go to the extent to explain these things unless the person is a Dhamma inclined person who is ready to understand. However, many Dhamma followers who receive the Buddhist statues, they also would like to have a simple Buddhist ceremony, which we all encourage. Usually what they do, they will have a nice shrine at home. Then they will invite a monk or a nun or a few Dhamma friends. And then we get together and then we do some religious practices, including meditation, Dhamma sharing, Dana ceremony. And it is a way of starting a new life, starting a journey of transformation. So I think such kind of beautiful Buddhist ceremonies, which are very simple, we always encourage. So that is something that you can consider to do. However, these are not compulsory. Now, there are other questions also people ask regarding the Buddhist statue. I will present a few more questions, and then perhaps at a later stage we can open it for the audience. There might be other questions as well. One of another question people ask, how do I know what is the right Buddhist statue for me? This question is very easy to answer. The moment you see the Buddhist statue, you should feel connection. Means, when you see the Buddhist statue, if you feel this Buddhist statue so calm, so serene, so peaceful, by looking at the Buddhist statue, if you can concentrate your mind, if you can feel peace, this is the right image for you. The purpose of keeping a Buddhist statue is to concentrate and develop your other spiritual faculties. So it is very, very important for you to find a Buddhist statue that can attract your eyes and attract your mind. That's very important. So aesthetic aspect of this statue is very important. So you need to go and see this statue by yourself. And if you think this is just nice, I can look at the Buddhist statue and hours I will not be fed up of seeing this statue. And you feel calm, serene, peaceful. You feel religious emotions. I mean, positive religious emotions. Emotions are not bad things altogether. There are positive types of emotions. In fact, we encourage in every religion these kind of positive, constructive, wholesome types of religious emotions. So look at that aspect. So if you find the connection, this is the right statue for you. Another question people ask, where should I keep the Buddhist statue? In which place should I keep it? Should I keep it in the living room? Or a study room? Or somewhere else? The answer to this question is also very simple. Look at from the Dhamma point of view. Why do you want a statue? You want a Buddhist statue to keep it somewhere for you to sit in front of it and practice your meditation, practice your chanting, reading the Dhamma book, reflecting the great virtues of the Triple Gems, or deeply contemplate the Buddhist teachings. So these are the things that you are going to do. You might bow down and prostrate, and these are very important aspects of it. These are all helps to transform our mind. So where is the suitable place for all this? Which place in your house has got the seclusion, privacy for you to do this? Find that place. It can be your living room. It can be your study room. It can be another place. Wherever you find the seclusion and privacy, and that is the ideal place for you. But what is important here, keep the Buddha statue in a higher place than your sitting posture. If you are sitting on a chair or on a cushion, you also should be able to see the Buddha image very clearly. So that should be the right place for you. Another question is usually asked, to which direction should I face the Buddha image? West, east, or main door? This is, in fact, doesn't have any value from the Dhamma point of view. It doesn't matter which direction you keep the Buddha statue. Because the purpose of keeping the Buddha image is for you to practice. So the direction does not matter at all. However, keeping the Buddha image facing different directions has something related to feng shui. And that is not the Dhamma concern. We are not keeping a Buddha statue for that reason. Our purpose of keeping the Buddha statue is for us to practice our spiritual faculties. So there shouldn't be any issue whether Buddha face east or west or other direction. It doesn't matter. As long as you find the right place and you can face it whatever the direction you would like. But try to find the place where you can keep it facing that you will have enough privacy. For example, if you keep the Buddha statue directly facing the main door, and if you were to sit over there and the main door were to be open, and you might have distraction. People are coming in and going out, your family members, you may not have privacy to practice. So of course you need to consider your privacy and seclusion, and then it doesn't matter which direction it faces as long as you cover that aspect. Another question is, should I offer flowers, incense, lights every day, or only on full moon day or new moon day? Of course, these are again optional. Flowers, incense, and lights, these have got symbolic meanings. Even though we offer water, fruits, and food, I have never seen our Buddha is consuming any of these things. But we still offer, today also we have offered light, incense, and flowers. There are many devotees who come here, offer fruits and flowers. I myself also offer. But we are not deluded and ignorant to believe this Buddhist statue will consume them. When we are not around, might take apple and eat. Not in that way, we don't believe such things. Buddha images, in that sense, doesn't have such kind of, we don't have such illusion and delusion. Of course, we offer all these things as a form of dana, as a profound gratitude. Like you offer a candle imprint of your father's photo when the death anniversary come as a mark of respect. We offer the light to the Buddha, but we reflect the light, dispel the darkness in the same way. May I have the wisdom to dispel the ignorance. We offer flowers to a person to respect that person. When you offer flowers to a sick person, we wish him good health. When you give flowers to your mother on Mother's Day, that is how you show your love, respect to your mother. So flowers can communicate. So similarly, we use flowers to communicate with the Buddha, to express our inner feelings. But we also reflect the impermanent nature of the world when we offer the flowers. Similarly, all these, whatever we offer, has got a symbolic meaning. So the answer to this question, it is entirely up to you whether you want to offer incense, water, or flower, or anything to the Buddha. But they are not compulsory. However, if you choose to offer them on special days like full moon days, of course it is a great thing. And do this beautiful devotional practice with your heart sincerely. That will help you to develop your faith, your sadha, and it will help you to transform yourself. However, lighting up a small candle before your meditation, if your room is dark and you off the lights and light up a small candle in front of the Buddha statue, that might help you to visualize the Buddha image in a dark room and might help you to concentrate well. So you might consider that. But do it safely. Or you can use a bulb. Nowadays, we have got those nice electrical bulbs that you can serve the same purpose. Some people find lighting incense helps to calm down the mind. So there are various incense catering for different needs of the people. If you find the smell of the incense helps you to calm down, why not? So those things should be used skillfully, and it is not a must. Well, there are also other questions such as, will I be protected if I were to keep a Buddhist statue at home? This is, again, not a relevant question from Dharma point of view. Some people believe that keeping a Buddhist statue at home can protect them from the evil spirit. So in this case, I have to emphasize, Buddha is not a security guard. We are not keeping the Buddha statue to protect your house and protect your people over there. It is not the right purpose of keeping the Buddha statue. Why do we expect the Buddha to be our guard? I will tell you a very funny incident happened some time back when I was in Sri Lankarami Buddhist Temple. One gentleman came and he said he and his wife quarrel a lot. So he said whether we can give him a Buddha statue so he can keep the Buddha statue at home. So of course we willingly gave a Buddha statue, and also we taught him metta meditation and asked him to practice metta because he can control his anger. And we also told him to encourage his wife also to practice metta. So eventually there will be lesser quarrels. However, what happened after around 1 week, this person came back to the temple with the Buddha statue and with angry face and just left the Buddha statue on the table and said, this Buddha is useless. He cannot protect my wife or my house. My wife has ran away. So however, it's a wrong understanding in the first place. Just because you kept a Buddha statue at home, you cannot expect to peace revealed there unless you practice. So the purpose of keeping the Buddha statue is not to protect your house against fire, against thieves, against those intruders, or against anything. Make sure when you light up the candle, make sure you do it safely. There are many cases where the houses are burned because you use the candles without common sense. Do you think the Buddha statue can prevent the fire if your house got caught in fire? There's no such powers in Buddha statue. So don't be ignorant. So there is no way just because you keep a Buddha statue at home and you will be protected, your house will be protected. Buddha is not a security guard. However, Buddha said these words. So whoever practices the Dhamma will be protected by the Dhamma. So in this case, what Buddha is trying to mean is when you practice the Dhamma, you are practicing the righteous way. You are keeping away from evil and you are cultivating good. In this case, you are protected against the evil. And you are also protected by the law and order of that country, because law and order of any country is bound to protect law-abiding people, peaceful people, righteous people. And it also has got a deeper meaning going beyond this narrow escape to related to cycle of existence. When we follow the Dhamma, we are avoiding evil and cultivating good, as well as practicing the path to enlightenment. So thereby, we are protected being born in a lower realm, and we are protected against the evil forces, and we are heading towards the enlightenment. So whoever practice the Dhamma will be protected by the Dhamma itself. So here Buddha is referring to the developing the spiritual power. And just because you keep a Buddhist statue at home and you do not practice and you do not expect to have such spiritual abilities and powers. Some others still believe that keeping a Buddhist statue at home will bring good luck and they can win 4D. This is again misunderstanding. If we can, keeping a Buddhist statue, if we can win the 4D, who doesn't want to win the 4D? I believe that all of you might have bought 4D every day if that is the case. So it is not that. Buddha teach the Dhamma in a way that we can achieve material success, but only by following his teachings. There are many discourses where Buddha teach how we should achieve the material success. And if we can follow them and become, people with the great wealth, we can achieve all the material gains, but not by praying to a statue and asking all these things, not in that way, but only through practice. Okay, there might be other questions. However, I would like to emphasize one more point. Why do we want a Buddha image to be kept in our house? As I said, it is for our own spiritual cultivation. Buddha statue is used here for us to derive inspiration from the Buddha and use this inspiration to motivate ourselves to practice the path. If you look at your own house, there are dedicated places in your house for different things. For example, you might have a place in your house where you do your exercises. You might be having some exercises machines, or otherwise you might be going to a gym. Why do you need a gym? Why do you need these exercises? Because you want to keep your body healthy. You want your body to be strong. So you do exercises to keep your body healthy, strong, and well-shaped, and looks beautiful and handsome. When you do that to your body, where are you going to shape up your mind and make it strong and healthy? The place that you can make your mind healthy and strong is the shrine. So when you sit in front of the Buddha statue and sit for the meditation to cultivate mindfulness, you are developing your mind, making your mind stronger and healthier. When you use the Buddha image to concentrate and develop attention training, you are making your mind stronger, healthier. So, like we do exercise with our body, our mind also need exercise. Shrine is the place where you make your mind stronger and healthier. You have a bathroom at your home. Why do you want a bathroom? That is to wash your dirts. You will clean your body to make it clean. You will wash your clothes and You want to keep your body clean, nice, fresh. So you go to the bathroom to do all this business. But don't you think that you also want to keep your mind clean? Don't you think that you have to wash your mind? Sometimes your mind becomes so smelly, so dirty, when the mind is full of anger, hatred, ill will, resentment, grudge, jealousy. Your mind becomes rotten, becomes so smelly, so dirty. Where are you going to wash your mind? Are you going to fight with your taxi driver? Are you going to horn the people while you are driving? Or you are going to pick up a fight with your neighbor or with your wife? That is not the right way to wash your mind. That is, you are throwing your rubbish everywhere. You are spreading the disease. So the proper place to clean your mind and get rid of all these viruses is the shrine, Buddha shrine. When you go there, look at the Buddha and your mind become calm and you will have the necessary surrounding to clean your mind. In your house, you have a kitchen, you have a dining hall or a table or wherever. You feed your body with nutritious foods and drinks. But not only the body, our mind also needs such foods. When you read a Dhamma book, you are feeding your mind with these nutritious foods. So use the shrine for that purpose. You can read a sutta, one or two, or reflect a Dhamma verse. This is where you can feed your mind. So this is the purpose of having a shrine at home. You have your dressing room. This is where you comb your hair, put up your makeup, and make your body look so beautiful, attractive. Yeah, that's fine. But don't you have a place to decorate your mind? Don't you think like you put up your lipsticks and all the colors and all the jewelries? Don't you think that you must decorate your mind also? Beautiful mind is more beautiful than the body. So the shrine is the place that you decorate your mind. You can decorate your mind with loving kindness, compassion, goodwill, friendship. So these four types of meditations, which Buddha labeled as four immeasurable qualities: metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha, loving kindness, compassion, appreciative joy, equanimity. These are the most precious jewels, ornaments that you can wear in your mind, not in the body. So friends, the purpose of having shrine is to cultivate our mind. So Buddha says, so dhammang passati, so mam passati. Yo mam passati, so dhammang passati. Whoever sees the Dhamma sees the Buddha. Whoever sees the Buddha sees the Dhamma. So Buddha's statue is kept at home to see the Dhamma and see the Buddha. Okay, if there's any other questions, we can open this for Q&A.